Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's tragic. All too many people find that the only way out of a miserable life is to end their lives through suicide. Today, why no depression is so deep that any of us have to kill ourselves to stop it. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. Today, we'll learn why Lady Macbeth didn't have to commit suicide and why you don't have to either.
In all my years of preaching, this is the sermon with the longest title that I've ever given a message. Why Lady Macbeth didn't have to commit suicide, and why you don't have to either. I think about 35,000 Americans every year choose to end it. Some of them are famous, like Robin Williams, most are unknown. But many of them live with depression that seems to be endless and hopeless. A friend of mine tried to commit suicide. He took some pills, but he was rushed to the hospital, and I visited him there. And he said, "You'll never understand the blackness, the darkness, the tunnel, the hopelessness." I'm so glad that he didn't pull it off, because while I was there, his little 6-year-old daughter came into the room. "Daddy, are you sick?" She didn't know why Daddy was in the hospital. Thankfully, he's doing much better today, and this young woman still has her daddy. So there's depression, but then there's also guilt. A chaplain asked a drug addict, "Why is it that you take drugs?" He said, "You should know the answer to that question. I feel so bad about what I've done, and I don't have the nerve to blow my brains out, so I die slowly at a time. I take drugs." Here in the Chicago area, some time ago, teenagers, Christian teenagers, committed suicide. One of them left a note that said, "I've messed up too many times." He did not have to commit suicide, as this message will show. Now, which leads me to Lady Macbeth in Shakespeare's famous play, Macbeth. These are her words, not mine. Remember, she had been an accomplice in the murder of the king. And remember, we've learned that our consciences do not work before we commit a sin. It's afterwards that they plague us. So listen. "Out, damned spot, out, I say, what need we fear when none can call our power to account." She's saying, we're in such a position of privilege, nobody is going to get even with us. Why should we fear? Yet who would have thought the old man to have so much blood in him? "Will those hands never be clean? Here's the smell of blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh, what a sigh is there. The heart is sorely charged. All the oceans of the world would not wash the blood from my hand. Rather, my hands would make all the oceans bloody." So she wanders the hallway. There's no peace. Overwhelmed by a plagued conscience, she commits suicide. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we heard a message, and I hope that this will be it, under the good hands of God, where we learn that we don't have to believe depression, because depression is full of lies. It tells us lies about ourselves, lies about our value as a person, and we don't have to believe those feelings because they're lying to us. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that when we really do mess up, as Lady Macbeth did, that there is a place where we can park our guilt so that we need not be plagued, and why we should be able to sleep at night. Imagine a message in which we are brought into the presence of God, received, honored, welcomed, with the past completely forgiven. Imagine what a hope that is. And that's the purpose of this message today. But in order for us to get there, we're going to have to plow through some basic ground. And then when we get to the end of the message, I'm going to be giving you very important transforming truths that I believe is going to be a means of deliverance for hundreds of people who are here today and even more who are listening by other means. I have that much confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe it will be transforming. In the Old Testament, you know that when you begin to read it, it is so difficult because everywhere there's blood. People want to read through the Bible in a year. And they begin with Genesis, and they say, this is pretty interesting. Exodus is manageable, but when you get into the tabernacle and stuff, it's a little much, but you hang in. And then comes Leviticus. These offerings, all this blood. You do this, you have to bring this offering. You do this, you have to, until we say enough already. Let me say this about the book of Leviticus. Either study it in detail, in which case it'll be a great blessing to you, or else speed read it. Don't get stopped there because it is hard for us to grasp. What in the world is going on in the Old Testament? What God is doing is he is establishing a program by which people will be able to have fellowship with him without him contaminating himself. And all of those various sacrifices had no permanent answer to sin. But thankfully, God says, in the meantime, I'm going to use them to set sin aside so that we can have fellowship. But the final offering is yet to come. It would be like being saved on credit. I mean, when you go into a store, you can use your credit card and you can get a benefit from whatever it is that you buy. But at the end of the day, at the end of the month, hopefully, it's then that the payment will be made. So all of this is pointing toward Jesus Christ. Now, in order for us to get a grasp on how much the blood of Christ means to God and how he values it, let's begin by reminding you about the Passover. God said to the Jews that what I want you to do is to kill a lamb, sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of your houses, because I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. All firstborns will be killed by the angel of death, except those families that have blood on their door. So all of the Jewish families, they put blood on their door. They killed the lamb and they put blood on the door. Now, it's not as if, you know, God looks at the corpuscles, whatever it is that makes up blood, and says, that's what's important. What's important is the fact that the blood symbolizes that someone, and in this case, an animal, has been killed as a substitute for the firstborn. And so God says, when I pass over you, and that's why it's called the Passover, I will see the blood. I will see that some animal died in the place of the firstborn, and you won't come under judgment. Now think for a moment. Imagine a Jewish family, and they have a teenager who struggles with depression. He's been depressed all the time. He doesn't know how to relate. He gives his parents a hard time. And will that matter, whether or not he'll be exempt from judgment? It's irrelevant. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, let's suppose that that teenager was a very bad kid. In fact, let's suppose that he was even worse than some of the Egyptian firstborns. Does that matter? It matters. And don't misunderstand me here. It has implications. But as far as the judgment is concerned, God says, I'm not looking at that right now. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It is the blood that has value to God. So God says, I'll see the blood and I'll spare your son. And then throughout the Old Testament, he says, when I see the blood, I will spare your sin. Your sin will have had a substitute. And that's why you have all of these animals being sacrificed to point toward the ultimate substitute. Now, when you get to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, now suddenly we're in a different era. And suddenly, his blood and his life is spoken of as precious. You don't find that about the blood of lambs and a blood of other animals. No, no, no. But his is precious blood of Christ. And God says that he uses the fact that this blood has special value. I mean very special value as a substitute and as our access to God. Now, all that by way of introduction, we're in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Thank you so much for bringing your Bibles. That is thanking some of you for something you haven't done, but that God wants you to learn to do. And I have my cell phone up here, but it's not because I'm looking at anything. It's to keep my pages down because sometimes the air conditioner blows my notes away. All right? But notice Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to begin at verse 12. It's kind of in the middle of things. But he, Jesus, entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. That's the precious blood. Thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, here's the phrase, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Always remember the purpose of this series of messages, and I hope you've memorized the verse, is 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction, the aim of our instruction is love that flows from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We're talking about a good conscience.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and the title of the message that you have just heard a part of is Why Lady Macbeth Didn't Have to Commit Suicide. I gave it that title because, if you remember, in Shakespeare's play, she does commit suicide because of guilt. I was greatly burdened because I had heard of some teenagers who committed suicide. One of them left a note which, in effect, said, "I've messed up one time too many." Tragic. The simple fact is that because of the blood of Christ, because of God's forgiveness, when we mess up, we never mess up one time too many from the standpoint of God's forgiveness and his willingness to receive us, because we are received on the basis of grace. And that's why this message is so incredibly important. I'm trusting that it will be a means of deliverance and hope and help to those who feel so defeated, perhaps even someone who's tempted to commit suicide. Because at the end of the day, when Jesus died, he remembered the depth of our sin, and thankfully through him we have the depth of his grace.
Erwin Lutzer with a message on suicide, another in a series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, more on why redemption in Christ is the answer for all who see no hope. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.